Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, a place for saving, making, and having fun with your money. We offer you a chance to learn new and creative ways to reach your financial goals. Here on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, it's always about the money. To contact us, visit our website at www.cheapcheetah.com or at www.cheapcheetahwebs.com. And now, here is your host, Hill.
Good morning, my Cheap Cheetah family. How are you this morning? What's going on? Today is January 12th, 2016. It is 9:30 in the morning, and you're with me here on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, and I thank you for being here. I thank my archivers. I thank my people who email me. I thank you, family. I love you for your support, and I appreciate your support. Before we get into today's topic, building wealth in the 80s, 90s, and today, a few things I want to say. I want to say I'm sorry about yesterday. I know I was supposed to have a show yesterday, but unfortunately sometimes things come up where I'm unable to do a show, so I'm doing one today, and I'm doing it early, too. So for you archivers that's listening, hope you're up and ready because it's all about money today. Folks, you know where to find me, the Cheap Cheetah Money Show on Facebook. We're on Twitter. And I wanted to know, did you go check out my blog? I'm sorry, my website, thecheapcheetah.com. Well, what did you think? Did you like it? You didn't like it? Let me know. Let me know what you think. Check it out. Visit my website, cheapcheetah.com. Also, I'm also looking for suggestions and comments. I want a Q&A day, question and answer day. So if you have any questions that you would like for me to answer for you pertaining to making, saving, and having fun with money, then email me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com, and I will definitely look into it and get back to you, and I will have a Q&A day because we haven't had that at all. So I thought it would be a good idea. Also, check out our new TV program, The Cheap Cheetah Money Show, on YouTube.com. So with all that, let's talk about, before I talk about that, also, you know, I give stuff free because I love you. I'm giving away a free Cheap Cheetah hat for the best money-saving idea for 2016, meaning January, we all have these New Year's resolutions, and a lot of times it involves money. So my contest to you is email me with your best money-saving idea for January and the best one that looks like it's going to save the most money wins a free Cheap Cheetah T-shirt. See? See how simple it is? Just you get great gifts for just great ideas, you know? So email me. Also, you know, we're giving away the free, I give away free e-books, Frugal Living in 30 Minutes or Less, excuse me, folks, and I also give away Saving the Cheap Cheetah Way. So, again, if you're interested in your free e-book, then email me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com. 1 minute, excuse me. New York is getting cold, and the cold weather is starting to affect my voice. Sorry. Building wealth in the 80s and 90s. The question is harder. The question is it harder to build wealth today than it was back in the 80s and 90s? Heck yeah, it is. It's much harder. It's much more difficult today than it was yesterday. Okay, retirement. Back in the day, say the 80s, maybe the 90s, half of the 90s, when you work for somebody, employer, they said, okay, you get your pension, and they cover you for retirement. Nowadays, it's like you're on your own. You have to make sure you get a good retirement plan. Yes, your employee may pay your pension. They may not. Heck, hopefully your employee won't go bankrupt, so your pensions are no longer there. So, yes, you're basically, excuse me, when it comes to retirement, you are on your own. You got to do your IRAs. You have to do your IRAs and, your Roth IRAs also. You have to do your own personal investment because basically, yes, I'm working for somebody, but it's still about you. And what you do with your money and your retirement. So, yeah, you're on your own compared to the 80s and the 90s. Income was sufficient. The salaries, you could afford certain things, okay? You were able to retire comfortably early on. I mean, yeah, it wasn't as much as you're getting now, but back in the day, they made it. In the 80s and 90s, I remember the salaries weren't the best, but you would still be able to afford some of the things you want, like a car, maybe a house, things like that. Nowadays, our salaries, some of us, suck, okay? We can barely afford food, let alone housing and a car, okay? Because you're making $50,000, but a car, a brand new car, maybe costing you $30,000. You're making $80,000, and maybe you want a house nowadays, and the house is costing you $300,000-$400,000. Compared to back in the day, where maybe you were making $20,000, but the house was costing you maybe, I don't know, it was under $100,000. I know that for sure. So building wealth in the 80s and 90s was much easier, especially if you want to talk about real estate. Because a lot of places back then, like houses were under $100,000, and a lot of places back then people would not touch as far as real estate. Being in New York, we have places like in Brooklyn, we have places in Harlem and Manhattan, we have places in Queens that people would not touch because they were dumps, they were dives. Nowadays, you can't even get in those places because the rent is so high. People came in and they rebuilt it. Now they're making a lot of money off of it. So building wealth in the 80s and 90s, to me, was a lot easier than trying to build it now because everything is so expensive. Housing is expensive. Food's expensive. Retirement is crazy. So, yeah, 80s and 90s were, even though we didn't get the salaries we did, the prices were really cheap, okay, in my opinion. So, and like I was saying, income. People could retire on a $32,000 to $40,000 a year income in 1979. And you could earn a decent income and provide shelter and food for your family with just a high school diploma. Like the education, the more the jobs start paying you, and they didn't pay you that much, the more the educational level went up. So now, to work at McDonald's, you need what? A master's degree? And I'm being serious. Really, think about it. Think about the 80s and think about the 90s when it comes to food, clothing, and shelter and income. Employment is much less secure now than it was in the 80s and 90s. Back then, they had what they called a guaranteed job. Excuse me, folks. Not so much today. Employees look at you, you don't do something right, you don't say something right, they're ready to fire you. They want you to jump through hoops for interviews and everything. They basically want you to kiss their behind. So there's really no guarantees like it was in the 80s and 90s where you were guaranteed a job. Safe investments no longer yield real returns. Decades ago, it was possible to get away money in safe places, like CDs and treasury bonds for 10 years now. That product has been flat. Savings accounts used to be 16%, now it's 0.0001. Safe investments. Savings accounts used to nice interest, okay? Treasury bills, nice money. We used to have safe places. Yeah, the market went up and down, but we still used to have safe places to put our money. Now the market's going crazy. Markets went down, dropped so many points the other day. People running scared. Interest rates, forget it. You know, on what, $500 deposit, what do you get, like, for interest, 50 cents? So, yeah, back then it was, you know, there was trouble back then and everything was not peachy in the 80s and 90s, but financially wise, I feel it was much better. You had a better chance of being able to live a decent life as far as a good guaranteed job, as far as a nice little secure retirement, as far as, no, the salaries weren't as maybe as big as they are now, but the salaries were enough so that you can have shelter, buy you a nice little place, or rent a nice little apartment. Let's not talk about apartment rents, okay? And you can put food on the table. Nowadays, it's like you have to decide, do I take my medication or do I eat? Do I pay my rent or do I eat? Because your salary is just not cutting it anymore, folks, and it's sad to say. Housing and what is now considered desirable areas were often not so desirable before, and we just talked about this, okay? Did you ever think back in the day that as you were going, starting your job and starting school and you were in your 20s, that rent would be ridiculous, $2,000, $3,000? And I'm just talking from a New York standpoint. Where you live may be much cheaper, but I'm talking from a New York standpoint. $2,000, $3,000 for an apartment. Even where I live, and I live considered in the suburbs of New York City, like way out in the suburbs, rent where I live is $1,200, $2,000. Did you ever think rents were going to go that high? It's ridiculous. People can't afford the rents because they're not getting the money to pay for the rents because their salaries are not increasing like the rents are. So back in the 80s and 90s, rents were never expected to go that high. Internet information is so much more powerful today than yesterday. You can learn about haircutting, pet grooming, saving money, you name it. You can learn about it all because of advanced computers. YouTube, Facebook, all that. We didn't have that in the 80s and 90s. Hey, we didn't even, computers were just getting started, I think in the late 90s. Don't quote me on it, but we didn't have all that. So now, yes, today we can learn so much, and people on their cell phones, which they didn't have, they texting and doing all that. We got the widescreen TVs. We have all that. But all of that is what? More money coming out of our check. Well, we don't have enough money as is just to pay for our basic needs in today's where we are today. Jobs. If you lost your job in the 80s and 90s, you can, boom, go and get another one. Because I remember when I was going through jobs in the 90s, and it used to be you leave one job and go like two doors down and you get another one because all employers were begging for people. So you were getting jobs left and right. Excuse me. Now, let's not talk about trying to get a job now. If you have a job, people are trying to keep it any way they can. Simple fact is jobs are not as easy, and they want you to jump through too many hoops now than they did back in the day. They needed you, they liked you, they interviewed you, you got the job. Nowadays, they need you, they like you, but you got to go through 50 people, and then they'll send you a letter, I'm sorry that you didn't get the job because we have 500 other applicants for two, three jobs. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it was much easier back then to get a job and to live a comfortable life just to buy your basic stuff. So, to me, I'm like 80s, 90s. Okay. Building wealth is not as hard, but it's different. The worst you can do is expect to follow in the exact footsteps of your parents and grandparents. Following an old recipe with expired ingredients usually ends up with a disappointing cake. I love that one. Meaning, because things change throughout the years, new technology comes out, different kind of job, different requirements for jobs come out, different housing situations come out. We have to adapt to what's coming out. And by what's coming out, we have to adapt our money situation to our basic needs. Because back in the day, it was much easier. Because if you speak to your grandparents, if you speak to your mother, your parents, their lifestyle to them was harder than our lifestyle today. But then to us, their lifestyle was easier. So we can learn from them, and we can take a lot of things when it comes to saving money, making money, and the way they did things, that we can adapt some of their lifestyle to our lifestyle, and some we can't. But the basic thing is, when it comes to saving money, It's all the same. They say they struggle. They put off on people. They pay for cash. They did it all. You know what I'm saying? It's all the same thing. And we got to do that too. Because what your grandmother did in the Depression, she taught her mother. She taught your mother. And your mother's probably teaching you. You know, it's nothing like looking at people who went through, stories about people who went through depression. You can learn a lot from them. I know I read a lot of stories about them and the way they did their money and the struggles they had to go through and the way they saved and everything. It's an opening lesson. It's a life-opening lesson. So you take what you can from the people you learn from and you apply that to your money situation. Like talking about the depression, and this is way before the 80s and 90s, we're talking about depression. They didn't have a lot, and they struggled, but they knew how to stretch their money. They knew how to stretch their food, and they knew how to take a little bit and make a lot out of it, and everybody in the household was covered. So that's what we have to do. Even though we're getting much more money than we were, say, our grandparents and even our parents, we have to learn how to conserve our money, not have debt, make sure we have a roof, a basic car, clothes on our back, and money in the bank for emergencies. So we just have to learn from them how they made it, and we have to adapt our lifestyle so that we have our goals in mind. And the goal is to save money for retirement. The goal is to become financially free. So you have to really think about it. Electronics back in the 80s. Decreased in price from the 80s and the 90s, and so has clothes, so that both of the items don't take up much of the family budget than they used to. Okay, electronics nowadays is crazy. It in the 80s and 90s, you bought a TV, maybe you bought a little Walkman, and you kept it moving. Nowadays, TVs are, what, $2,000, $3,000? If you get a good one, it's like, what, $800, $900? Computers, a good computer is what, $3,000, $2,000? Electronics and clothes to me are still expensive. They were cheaper back in the 80s and 90s where maybe they weren't as fashionable, but they were much cheaper. And back in the day, truly, children were less disrespectful. Today's kids are just really, really. Not all of them, some of them, so. Folks, basically, that's what it comes down to, building wealth, about building wealth in the 80s and 90s. It was more affordable back in the day than it was today, in my opinion. And on that note, a word from my sponsor.
This message is for independent recording artists. Is your music career at a standstill? If so, let access to a rising artist promotion get it moving again and take it to the next level. We can assist you with building your brand through online radio promotion, social media marketing, and website development. And if you don't know what direction to go, get an opportunity to have a one-on-one consultation session to get you started in the creative aspect of developing a strategy on going forward with your music career. Get back on your music journey again and visit us online for a host of new opportunities that will put you in the spotlight. At www.accesstoarisingartist.com, the ultimate platform for a rising artist to shine.
Thank you for my sponsor, Access to a Rising Artist. And folks, if you have a commercial that you would like to play on the Cheap Cheetah Money Show, by all means, email me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com and we'll discuss it. If you have a product or service that you'd like for me to talk about, also, contact me at cheapcheetah@yahoo.com, and we will discuss it. All are welcome. This is a family thing, so come on in and, you know, if you'd like to be on the show as well. But, folks, we have 10 minutes, and let's talk about the elephant in the room. I can't wait to talk to you about this. What I'm talking about, because you probably said, Cheetah, what the heck are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Powerball, okay? I'm talking about Powerball is $1.4 billion. $1.4 billion. After taxes and everything, well, once they divide that, you'll get about $800 million. Okay. After taxes, especially if you live in a city like mine that has state, federal, boo-boo taxes and all that, maybe you come out with $300 million. But let's just talk about the whole frenzy of it now. Every time you turn on the internet, every time you look on the TV, they're talking about this $1.5 billion in this lottery, okay? And, you know, it's a great fantasy to think about. It's a great fantasy if I win it. But I have a few minutes, and let's have some fun. If you win it, okay, being a frugal cheapskate, and just say after all the taxes and everything, you come home with $300 million, okay? First of all, you have to, you know what you have to do. Even before you collect, you have to get your team in place, as they keep saying. And your team is a lawyer, a good tax accountant, and and they say a financial advisor. The three people that you need to get in place are the three people that you need to watch the most. Because not all of them, but a lot of them will rip your behind off, okay? So you get your little team in place. You make sure they're the people that you want to deal with. And before you go waltzing down there to collect the check, you take a couple of months to decide what I'm going to do with it. But in the cheap cheetah aspect of it and the frugal living aspect of it, you already know what you're going to do with this money because it's not $1.3 billion. And if you're lucky, you'll come out with $400 million. If you're not, you'll come out with $300 million. Like, talking from a New Yorker like me, I'll come out with $300 million. But that's a nice piece of change. But we all know what we would do with that kind of money. We would pay down our debt. We would give to charity. We would give to family. And we would put a lot of that money aside. Because the best advice someone wrote on a message board, if you went any kind of money like that. Hell, even if you win $500,000, if you win $100,000, the best advice somebody said is when you win a large sum of money, take the money after you pay your taxes and be done with it, which I do agree. Take the money, put the money away, and live off the interest of the money. Okay? So your principal is still the same. And you're living off the interest. So if the interest on, say, $500,000, you're getting maybe, depending on where you put it, if you put on something really good, and that's your brother's cousin idea of a new motor car or whatever, if you invested in good growth funds, bonds and everything, if you invested well and you've invested conservatively, and say you get a check once a month of, I don't know, say $5,000 from your investments and everything just to dividends. Or say if you get $800 or whatever. We'll just say $1,000 for argument's sake. Then you continue doing what you're doing, living on your pension, or you continue working, and you have that extra money from your dividends helping you either pay your bills, set up your emergency fund, go on vacation, enjoy yourself. But the main key is, being a cheap cheater, the principal of your money is still there. You're just living on what is generating from interest. So our main goal is to accumulate money, or if we win big money, to never touch the principal. That way, to me, you'll always have it. And God forbid, if something happens to you and you're no longer with us, then the money will be moved over to either your spouse or your children, or whoever it is you willed it to, or whoever it is a beneficiary of stocks and bonds, or however you invested it. Also, if you have extra money, or money like that, because we're talking big money, $300 million, another good investment is real estate. If you have the heart and soul to be a good landlord, to look at property and know how to fix it up, and know how to fix it up cheap, real estate's a good investment too. I'm not saying going out and being Donald Trump. I'm just saying if you live in a house, maybe you buy another two-family house. If you want to deal with the hassles of other people and rent and repairs and stuff like that, real estate is a daggone good investment if you can buy the house cheap, fix it up cheap, and rent it for a nice profit. In New York, that's really hard to do, but in West Bubble somewhere or a little country town somewhere where real estate is, like, really dirt cheap and you know you're going to get renters, that's a good investment too. But all that money, people are losing their minds, okay? As far as buying the tickets, then the only people that's really getting big-time money when it comes to this mega Powerball thing is the lottery people. Personally, I think it's a scam. Powerball enrolled over like 18 times already. No one won. And the more it rolls over, the more money comes into the Powerball office, okay? They're making damn near almost $100,000 like every 2-3 minutes. It's money for them. It's a game. You know, they're hoping that you're going to spend more money than you normally do to buy these tickets, and you even have people that never play buying these tickets, and people are not buying $2-3 tickets. They're buying $20 tickets. Some of them are buying $500 worth of tickets. You know what I'm saying? So you got a money machine working. How long you can milk it, the lottery people can milk it, probably this is the last time, because then it just gets ridiculous like it is now. But they're milking it. If you think also, think about it. If you were a business person and you had something that people wanted and they were standing online for hours to get it, wouldn't you try to milk it too? Wouldn't you try to milk it? And they're milking it because they're making money hand over fist. Right. So I wanted to talk to you about it because the drawing, everybody knows, is tomorrow. And people are going crazy. And again, I'm not going to tell you about the past people who've won and the really silly things they've done with it. But then you've had other people who had their head on their shoulder and said, okay, I'm going to take this money. Excuse me, I'm going to do something really constructive with it, and I'm continuing to lead my life because I don't want anything to change. And you know it will change. Winning that amount of money will definitely change your life for the good and the bad. Because you have to look at now everybody and mother's going to be looking at you, and then you're going to have that, to win that kind of money, even to win $500 million. People are going to look at you, and then you're going to start getting that fear inside of you that people want to get at you or people want to do you harm, where you just didn't exist to other people, to people before. All of a sudden, you're just mega winner. All of a sudden, people notice you. And then sometimes people start, you know, wanting to do really unnice, really not nice things to you. So it's crazy. And I just wanted to talk to you. We had a minute or two to talk about this. So I just wanted to talk about, you know, that aspect because there's so many things to do. But as a cheap cheater person, I know what I would do with it. Like I said, me personally, I would just take the principal, invest it, and live off the interest and lead my life accordingly. You know, I still would have that little fear factor, but I would keep it moving. You know, I would do the things I want to do with the rest of my life and not worry about it. Heck, if I won $100,000, I'd do the same thing. Put it away. Because you never know when you're going to need the extra money. You know, don't change your life. Just change your money situation. Don't go crazy. Just change your money situation. So that's my little opinion, folks. And I like to hear what your opinion is. What would you do if you won that kind of money in a frugal, cheap fashion? What would you do? Next week, like I said, we're doing something totally new. I'll let you know when the next show is. It will be next week. I'm not sure about what topic it is because, you know, it's the element of surprise. You know, when I find something good and I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm going to share with you, then I'll let you know during the course of the week what's going on as far as what we're talking about. I hope you enjoyed building wealth in the 80s and 90s. It was just, you know, I cruised over the little topic of the difference between then and now and our little discussions, you know. Family, thank you for being part of Cheap Chitter Money Show today. Keep your mind on your money on your mind. And with that note, excuse me, save your money. I love you, I appreciate you, and I'll see you next week.